Audience, welcome into the Get Bodied podcast. This is your host, Sharcross, aka your boy Cher, and as always, my two lovely, dashing, full of toots co-hosts. Woo! Give it up for David Dutton, the Jungle Kitty. And everyone's favorite lovely coach, who now has short hair, used to have long hair a few years back.
Facts.
Dr. Luke.
Yep.
Oh my dear Lord.
An audience, we have a lovely, wonderful, amazing guest, Emily Brown.
Hello.
Audience, in this episode, we talk about the whole gamut of Emily's life. From her in birth, the whole process during birth, adoption, meeting her family, one of seven. Oh my gosh, a whole journey. And then, furthermore, we get to dive deeper in her family life, finding her mom, meeting Steven at the Kroger's. Well, technically, he was in the bus, giving her directions.
And technically, there's no S. It's just Kroger.
I thought the same thing.
Yeah. I tell you what, though, audience, it's worth listening to. It's really, really awesome. And you guys should stay tuned.
Stay tuned. Audience, we hope you enjoy.
Yeah. Bye. Tell us about circumstances surrounding your birth.
So, when I was born, my mom put me up for adoption right away. She went to one of those homes, I don't know what they call them, where they like stay for extended time. And then they go to the hospital, have the baby, and then go back home like nothing happened. So that's what she did. She changed her mind. And 7 days after she put me up for adoption, she changed her mind. She wanted to go back, but I was already in foster care. Mm-hmm. And then from foster care, I stayed there. My parents adopted me at 8 weeks. I think I was 8 weeks old. And they lived in York, Nebraska. So I went there. And then I stayed there until August 2nd, 1990, we moved to Beaver Creek. And that's where it started.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So how old were you in 1990?
So 1990, I just turned two.
Two, yeah. Okay. And your mom put you up for adoption.
Mm-hmm. So she already had my brother. We were only 17 months apart. Mm-hmm. And my brother's dad wasn't in his life, and she was living, I think she told me she was living with her grandmother at the time, and her grandmother was a huge hoarder, and they didn't have much, they were poor, and she just felt like she couldn't bring another life into that situation, so that's what she decided to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you said she changed her mind, was it 8 weeks in?
No, she changed her mind 7 days after she put me up for adoption, but I was already
in foster care.
Yeah.
So even though
she already put like in her mind that she was going to give me up for adoption, but she had me at the hospital. I think she spent like 24 hours with me, and then she left the hospital. Then she changed her mind. It was like, I want her. And I was already gone.
And the foster care system couldn't do anything about that.
She had already signed papers and stuff like that.
Wow.
It was done. Yeah. So.
And your foster parents,
mm-hmm.
the parents that you've grown up with,
adopted mom and parents, dad, yeah.
They had an interesting situation when tell us a little bit about that.
So they already had four boys biologically, and they had adopted my sister, not my bio sister, but they had adopted her. I want to say, so Ivy is like 3.5 years older than me. They had adopted her a while ago, and my mom was like not satisfied. She wanted more kids. So she asked my dad, can we adopt another one? So of course my dad was like, yeah, sure. What is my dad thinking? I don't know. So they said they don't care what race, if it's a boy or girl, like, sure. So I guess they were at Disney World and they got the call that I was like, afraid I should, do you want a little girl? And they're like, yes, of course. So I guess they flew from Florida, if this is the right story. I think they flew from Florida to go see me. They haven't, like, at this point, I wasn't, like, already locked in, like, with them. They just wanted to see me. So they saw me and was like, oh, you know, got excited and stuff. And that was it. And a couple weeks later, then I was in their family.
Boom.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, my gosh. And then you also have a little sister. Little sister.
Yeah. She passed away. It was just a year. We just had a year, July 5th.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. I mean, her are only 7 months apart.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is she adopted as well?
Yeah, she is.
Okay.
Yep.
So after you, your mom's still not...
Yeah, she's still not satisfied. She wants another one. So.
Oh, my gosh.
So then she came. I don't know. I don't remember how long the space was. It couldn't have been long because we're only 7 months apart. And I see pictures of... We're both babies. So, yeah. Like, mm-hmm. What? What in the heck?
So your parents have a total of how many kids and adopted kids?
So three of us are adopted and they have four boys biologically.
Is that seven?
Yeah.
That's seven kids.
Yeah.
Whoa.
I'm number six out of seven. Yeah.
So what's the age difference then?
So my brother,
to you?
My oldest brother will be 51 on the 12th, then 48, 46, and 44. And then Ivy, which is my sister older than me, she's 39, and I'll be 36, and then Hillary would have been 35. Yeah.
So the youngest was like around 15 when Ivy came in.
Yeah. Okay.
So she's like, your mom's feeling like the empty nester. She's
yeah.
Like, oh, I'm okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, tell me about like what it's like to grow up. Like.
So, my parents are white. So that was...
I was going to ask, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, when you're a little kid, you don't really... You know something's different, but you're like... It's normal because that's what you grew up around, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm always curious. So I knew my parents always had, like... They told me I was adopted from a young age. I already knew because, you know, it's obvious. I don't have my mom's eyes. I used to sneak down in their basement where they had the files, and I used to look in the in adoption files, and like I wanted to see like what I could get, you know?
Yeah.
So I was like, hurry up and like look through this paperwork. Hurry up, but my friends would help me. You know, we'd go through paperwork and look. So I conjured everything I could. Like anything it said in the file, I wanted to know, you know? So that's what I did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm trying to figure out which question to ask first, but you told us on the way over that you were talking to your birth mom.
Yeah.
So you eventually like,
yeah. So, I always wanted to, so my other sisters never wanted to meet their biological. For some reason, they just didn't want to, which I was like, why not? You know, because I'm the curious one. But they just didn't want to. But I always did. So I want to say my oldest, he was a baby. And I was like, I really want to know who I am. So I first asked my mom, like, can I see the adoption papers? She gave them to me. And my birth mom had wrote a letter, like the reason why she gave me up and stuff. So I read that.
So the first time you're reading that letter is, how old were you?
Oh, I want to say 11.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I was just reading it. I was just looking at her handwriting and stuff because it was handwritten. It was pretty cool. It was emotional, like, because I just wanted to, like, I'm trying to capture, like, what her, like, at that age, I don't really know the gravity of like how she was feeling. But I wanted to like trying to like picture, because I don't know at this point, I don't know what she looks like. I don't have a picture or anything, so I'm like trying to imagine what she looks like and how she feels, and she's just telling me what the reason was and stuff like that. So I was never like inside, I wasn't ever mad or anything like that. I never had like anger or anything. So I read that, I thought that was pretty cool. But when I was, I think I was 21, because I had Jaden. I had Jaden when I was 21. So I really just wanted to know, like, you look in the mirror, you can see like your parents. But I didn't know who I looked like. So I want to know naturally, like, what the lady looks like. So I was like, first I looked at the adoption agency papers, and then I told my mom, how does she feel about me trying to find her? And she said she was fine. But I think a part of her was a little bit like, a little bit jealous in a way, because I think, thinking back, she didn't want anybody to take over her, like...
her mom's spot.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. In a way. And I can see that being like that, but I just wanted to know who I was. So I looked up the agency, and then I called them, and I had to prove who I was. And of course, my name is not the same as it was when I was born. So I had to give them my ID, like give them blood sample, basically who I am. So
you had to give your blood
sample? No, I really didn't. But I'm just saying, I had to give a lot of information.
Yeah,
yeah.
To prove who I was.
This was 2011, right?
Yes.
Okay.
At this point, so I had to prove who I was, and I was just getting antsy, and it was just. I wasn't hearing anything back for a while, so I was like, just screw it. They don't want to find me. That's probably what it is. So as soon as I gave up, like, I just thought about it, and I was just like, they don't want to find me. I just had to put that realization. So I stopped, like, looking at the mailbox anymore. So at this point, the mail had been forwarded to my sister's address. Because I had a different situation going. We'll dive into that. But I went to my sister's house, and there was an envelope. And it had my name on there. And on the front, it said, call me immediately. So it was my granddaddy. And so he told me to call him immediately. And of course, I was like, oh, shaky. Like, oh, my God. Like, what am I going to say? So I called him, and he's like, well, I'll be damned. I didn't. I told him my name, and
he's like, this was Missouri, right?
No, Tennessee.
Tennessee.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I told him what my name was and stuff. He's like, honey, I didn't know anything about you, but I want you to come down here and meet everybody. I'm like, what? This is crazy. So then after that, then calls were just going out like crazy. Everybody was like, what's your Facebook? They were looking at me, and I hadn't seen my mom yet. So my brother looked me up first, and then I looked him up, and I was just going through pictures. I didn't know who was who.
Mm-hmm.
So then she asked me to be a friend. I was like, okay, this is Teresa. So I looked at her picture, and I was like, God, I was like looking at her eyes, yeah. Looking at like, do I look like her? Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then she called me, and we were talking. It was just, it's surreal. It was a lot. And then,
so did you go down to Tennessee?
Yeah, they gave me a plane ticket, and it was like 2 weeks later. No, it was 2 days after my birthday. So my birthday is July 26th. So I flew out there.
Happy belated. Oh, wait, I guess
no.
It's coming up.
No, it's coming up. It's coming up.
For last year. Yeah, yeah. That's for last year. Yeah.
I don't know why you thought.
It's okay. It's all right. So 2 days after my birthday, I flew out there. And Jaden was under 2 at this time. So he sat in my seat with me. And, you know, I was nervous and... I stayed up the whole night before I was so nervous. So, and my phone, it wasn't good reception. I had a bad phone. So I get off the plane and like, I heard her voice on the phone, but in person it was like, I can't even explain it. Like the sound of her voice hit my ears. It sounded familiar. It was weird. It was like, I don't know.
Like you just knew.
Yeah. I just knew it was her. Yeah. And she gave me a hug and I gave her a hug and my little sister was there. Cause she had two kids after me. So she was there and they were hugging me and I was exhausted and she was crying and I wasn't crying. I was just trying to soak it in. And so they picked me up in Nashville and they live in a small town called Trenton, Tennessee. So it was 3 hours from the airport to her house. I fell asleep.
Yep.
In the car. I was embarrassed, but like I was literally so tired. So like everybody was there at the house. My brother, her husband, my sisters. It was nuts. It was like a lot to soak in though.
Yeah. When you're like a 22.
So
you're a 22-year-old by yourself with your kid.
Yeah, with the
meeting
baby.
Like all of bio family that you've never.
Yeah, it was scary. It was scary, but like cool at the same time. It was a lot. It was a lot all at once. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to be like, I wanted to soak everything in. Mm-hmm. Like, I was just licking everywhere, like looking at everybody, you know?
Yeah.
So.
But you stay in contact with them.
Yeah.
Do you see them often or?
I see them. So I was seeing them like twice a year, but you know, time is just, it's hard for everybody because I work a lot, they work a lot. Mm-hmm. So like at least once a year. So now my kids, they'll go down and stay with her sometimes 2 weeks over the summer, sometimes three. That's pushing it for me. I can't do
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a lot. This time they stayed 9 days. So she just likes to spend time with them.
Yeah.
And Jaden, he doesn't know anything else because he was only 16 months old when he met her. So
yeah.
And then the other kids, they think it's normal. So
right. Yeah.
You have two moms. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
That's,
yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
The more the merrier. So. Hmm.
What was it like growing up with, I mean, did you feel like you had a happy childhood, like pre 21? I mean,
there's always ups and downs. Like, so Beaver Creek is like a predominantly white area. Growing up in a white family already, it was no different to me, but as I started getting older and being around people, it was hard because there wasn't a lot of Black people in school with us. And it was like, it was hard because like, my mom cannot teach me how to be Black because she's not a Black woman. And so I would say high school area is when like that was more, I saw more Black people. So we kind of gravitated to each other because there was just a few of us there. So like when I became friends with people, like I would go over to their house and see how they are because it was different from my house to theirs, you know?
Give me some examples.
Like of different?
Yeah, different. And I guess partly you said maybe a comment like she couldn't teach me how to be Black. Like what does it mean to you to be Black?
Ooh, that's a good question. I don't know, like so my mom, when I say that, it means like I didn't have anything to look like. I could watch TV and like try to imitate what this was, but I didn't truly know what it was to be a part of the culture. Like, so for instance, like, So I have a friend named Kristen. I used to go to her house all the time. And I remember when I first went over there, I just, these things are different. The way the kids talk to their parents, they be like the behavior, like what's allowed and what's not allowed. Like they say, yes, ma'am, yes, sir. There's no talking back. Like kids are not allowed to be as opinionated. It's more like tight.
Yeah.
I'm trying to.
No, it's okay.
Yeah.
I just curious.
It's just different. It is. Yeah. So.
And so, like in high school and growing up, now your sisters,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
They're
black too.
Okay.
Yep.
And so you guys, you growing up. When, and you three would have been in a pack, right? Because like your brothers would be basically 15 when you were.
Yeah.
When,
so the brother that's closest to our age, he's 44. So he was at home. So the brothers that I remember being at home was Zach, which is 10 years older than me, Caleb, which is 44, and then us girls. So once they were done with high school and stuff, it was just us three.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it really is, like, for my parents and for us, it was, like, different because they're now older,
mm-hmm.
and mm-hmm. things are run different because not everybody's in the house. So it's, like, you know, it's more loose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No, the stuff we, like, I can see that in, like, I don't even, I'm trying to think, do the math. Like, even the 4-year span of my three kids,
uh-huh.
the first one and all the rules we had with that one, and
uh-huh.
my third one and the
and it
absence
starts,
of rules that we had with that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, and totally.
It starts dwindling down.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then the way that my family split up with the top four and the bottom two, there's a big space.
Mm-hmm.
And then we always tease the bottom two because we're like, you guys have any of the rules?
Right.
At all?
Exactly.
Yeah. So you guys, like, how were you and your sisters growing up? Like typical, like just stealing each other's clothes. Like,
no. So Ivy, oh my God, me and her never got along because she, for me. So I used to be so shy and not outspoken at all. I was just like real timid and stuff. Except at home, you know, you're yourself, but I didn't speak up for myself very much. She was, and she still is, very vocal, obnoxious, loud. I think that just annoyed me at the time. It's like, shut up. And then Hillary, she was very outgoing, very energetic. So we were all different.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just me in the middle. I guess where they kind of said I was like a stick in the mud. Yeah, pretty much.
You were like the rule follower.
Yeah.
Like, come on, guys, don't do that.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
They made fun of me. So yeah, for a long time, it was like when I was a kid, I was like that. Mm-hmm. But.
Did you have a thing in high school? Were you like an athlete or a.
Well, I played basketball, but, like, I was not, like, good. I was a bench warmer, you know? But I was on the team. At least I got on the team. You know, sometimes my jersey was not, like, you know, it was dry. So, you know, I didn't play very much. But summer swim team, I did that for years. Yes. I've been doing that since I was, what, 4? Yeah. Mm. I did a little bit of winter swimming, but not much. Basketball, soccer. I did soccer 8 years. So,
nice.
Yeah.
Is there anything else about high school that was formative that you're like, oh, no, this was a really big part of my life? Or?
Oh, that's one. So, elementary and middle school, I was quiet. High school, I broke out of my shell. I don't know what happened. I think I was... You know, like, when you're in middle school, you don't really know who you are. I mean, you don't know who you are in high school either, but you're kind of awkward. You don't know who you you're fitting in with and stuff. I was just really quiet. I didn't speak up for myself. I think people used to walk over me a lot, and I used to do what other people wanted to do, even though that wasn't really what I wanted to do. I think I had, like, something inside me, like, just switched, and I, like, was like, no, no more. Like, I am Emily. I'm going to do what I want, you know?
Yes.
So,
that's
I'm out of the cage.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So, you graduate high school.
Mm-hmm.
What happens next?
So, I didn't do any college. So, I did sign up to go to Columbus State right after high school, but... I got sick. So what happened was I got a PE, pulmonary embolism. It's a blood clot in your lung. I got really sick and I was hospitalized for 12 days. And then from there, like, I was just sick trying to live with this new normal of getting my blood checked all the time, being on new medications. And so, like, I just worked.
Mm.
That's all I did. And
where'd you work?
So I worked at Kroger. I have a whole list of jobs.
Yes.
Kroger. At one point, like, in my childhood, I was a lifeguard. Worked at Myers, like, you know, retail stores and stuff like that. And then I worked at one point at the children's home in Worthington. They tore it down.
Hmm.
So there was a children's home that I used to work at in the kitchen. So I did that, and I've been at the hospital since 2016.
A long time.
Yeah. I started off in a nursing home, so I always wanted to be a nurse. So I did, like, my STNAs and, then I started working, like...
What's that, STNA?
So, State Certified Nurse Assistant.
Okay.
Yeah. So, that's where you can, like, work in nursing homes and stuff. Like, you don't need that at the hospital, but nursing home. That's just, like, the show, like, that you know how to take care of patients and stuff like that. I started off working at a nursing home in Gahanna. And then I worked there for... 2.5 years. And then I went to Kroger, and then I went to, I've been at Riverside since 2016.
Okay. Nice.
So,
So the main move from Beaver Creek to Columbus was because of your initial thought for Columbus State?
Yeah, that was initial. So at one point, so I came to Columbus to live with my dad. And then I worked at the children's home, and then, like, they did a whole bunch of layoffs. So I went back to Dayton, and I was, like, in a relationship, and it was a bad relationship. So I wanted to start over. So I moved here, back here, April 27th of 2009. Mm-hmm. So then shortly after I moved here. I started a job at Sonic. I don't know if y'all know where. Have y'all been to Sonic?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sonic, yeah.
On Owen Tangy, I worked there for a while.
Slushies with the nerds in the bottom?
Yes. Yeah. 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 Yep.
And the best part, Sonic.
Yeah. I worked there, and then I got pregnant with Jaden. And then that's when life just changed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
it's a little, I'm sorry, I'm kind of
it's
popping
good.
All over the place.
It's good. And when you said come to Columbus to be with your dad.
Yeah.
So
my mom and dad are still married. They never got divorced. So my dad took a job in Columbus working at the children's home.
Okay.
So then he lived on, like, campus and stuff. So then that's when I lived with him there. Mm-hmm. And, so that's how I was here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then so when you had your first?
Mm-hmm. I wasn't married or anything.
Okay.
Yeah, I was young.
How young?
So I got pregnant when I was 20, And I found out, so I was pregnant in May. So I found out maybe a month before my 21st birthday.
Yeah.
Happy birthday.
Yes. And you've had two more since then.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that was a learning experience. So I was with Jaden's dad for about a year. No, I was getting to know him as I was pregnant. So that was very hard.
Yeah.
Because we worked together, and then having a baby with somebody you really don't know is very strange. But I tried to make it work. It was very toxic relationship. A lot of domestic violence in that. Yeah, so that's where I, like, that's part of my ward I went through. So then I got out of that relationship and I was on my own. That was hard. So I was on my own right before I met my birth mom. So I was like, it was hard. I was only 21, 22 with a young baby trying to like figure things out. It was difficult. It wasn't easy at all. And then that's when I met my husband, my now husband, Stephen. I met him when Jaden was 16 months old. So here I am, a single parent, trying to adjust to life. And I'm on the way to, at this point, I'm working at Kroger. So this is when the 7th and High Kroger's was getting built. Do you know where that is?
On campus?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's so super nice now.
Yeah, yeah. So wasn't...
What year was this?
This is 2011.
Were you born yet?
I think barely.
This is 2011 now.
I always knew it as Crow Ghetto.
Yeah, that was the old one. Yeah,
yeah,
that's the old
yeah.
one.
Yeah, the new one's right. Like,
it's
swank.
Gigantic, yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of gone downhill a little bit now, I've seen. Like,
after you left.
After I left. They all have, no?
Can I add a quick side note to Crow Ghetto?
Yeah.
Crow Ghetto, if you're listening, I don't know what it is with you and your bathrooms. Every single time, and no joke, probably 4 or 5 times, I've been put in a situation where I've had to use the bathroom and I went into Crow Ghetto. Dude, I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's some homeless guy or some kid, college kids that thought it was hilarious. I have never seen a bathroom that obliterated in my life.
It's gross.
Not only, oh my gosh, poop, floor, on the wall,
ew,
all over the toilet. It, like, I walk in and I just immediately start laughing. I start laughing. I start gagging because it just smells horrible. Not once, not twice, 5 times.
That's what I'm curious about. So you...
Because I just kept going back to just check. I'm just like, I gotta know.
What are the situations where you're like, oh, I'm by Crow Ghetto and I have to go to the bathroom.
So
and I can't, like...
I would strategically go from Columbus State, drive back home because I live right on... West 10th.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So I would come back on 4th, back down Crow Ghetto.
And you couldn't.
And I would go. Yeah, I would go shop at Crow Ghetto first.
You'd shop there,
and then
you got like.
And then sometimes I'm like,
surprise.
Man, I just gotta hit it.
I just feel like after 4 times of poop on the wall.
Well, sometimes I'm just out late at night, and I'm like, might as well.
So you work at Kroger,
yeah,
and you're on your way.
I'm on my way. So my car broke. So I was down on my luck. So my car broke down. So I had to ride the bus. So I dropped my son off at the daycare. I had to ride 2 buses at this point. I'm not very good at the bus system at this point, but I'm trying to learn because I don't have a choice. So, 7th High Kroger's is not done being built yet, so I have to go to the Brewer's Yard Kroger's. Do you know where that is?
I think so.
Yeah, the downtown one.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't know where it was exactly. I just knew the direction. So I get on the bus and I'm asking people, where is this Kroger's? Okay. And the bus stop, somebody says, it's over here. You know who it was? It was my husband. He was telling me directions to get to Kroger's.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, so he's telling me, you go down this street, and you go here. And I said, okay. So he gets off. He gets off, and he's not in a uniform or anything. So he's walking the same direction. He's like, well, I work at Kroger's too. And I'm like, okay. He's like, just follow me. So I follow the man. That's a Kroger.
Good thing he actually took you to Kroger.
Yeah,
right.
Did he work it? Yeah, he worked there.
No way.
Wow.
Yeah.
Was it, and then like first interaction, were you like, what was the vibe like when he's talking?
So I wasn't looking for anybody. I wasn't like, he wasn't on my radar. Like, oh, this guy.
Did he get bodied?
Yeah.
Steven get bodied?
Dang. No, he's a handsome guy, but I wasn't like looking like.
Yeah, yeah. It was all business. You're like, I'm trying to get to work.
Yeah,
like, I hope you get
you're
to work.
You're in the work mindset.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I got to get to work. Okay. I need to make this money.
So you get to.
Get to work and like, you know, I'm going to the manager. You know, I'm Emily. I work at this store, but they told me to come down here. So I'm working down there. I think we were working down there maybe a month until the store opened, but I just kept seeing him.
What was he doing? Was he deli guy?
So
what was he doing?
I was cashier and he was grocery. So I at one point they used to do this for Kroger's. They used to do like Reaper floats. Have you ever seen that where they set somebody outside and
they can buy the Reaper
floats? Yeah. So he kept coming out there and getting a Reaper float. And I'm like, he's already had two today. What is he doing? This is enough. What?
So you're keeping tabs on him.
I'm keeping tabs. But but my mind is like, why
is this guy so many Reaper floats?
Yeah.
But you're keeping tabs.
I am, but I didn't know why. So they put me out there a couple more times that week. They kept putting me out there, but he kept coming out there again and again. And again, I'm like, okay. So then there's this day at Kroger's where it's like, wear your favorite shirt. So I wore my shirt and I'm getting ready to clock in, but I'm going down the aisles. I'm looking for him. Why am I looking for him? What is happening? What? So he sees me. He's like, I like your shirt. I was like, thank you. I was looking for you. He's like, you were? Ah! Yeah.
It's like a Hallmark movie.
Yeah.
You say you were, so.
He didn't give you directions forever. He gave you directions to your heart. Oh,
yeah.
Man.
So.
Dang.
He asked me, like, am I going to the new store? Am I staying at Bruno's Yard? I said, I'm going to the new store. He said, so am I. I said, okay. So then they had, like, this Kroger barbecue, and it's like, get to know the coworkers or whatever. We had the same friends. Like, we knew, like, mutual friends. It was weird. I was like, okay.
This guy's stalking you.
This is weird. But this works. Okay. So then, Steven, you're going to kill me for this. He said, do you have a Facebook? He didn't ask me for my number. He said, do you have a Facebook?
Okay.
And so I gave it to him. And then we went out to, like, have you heard of McFadden's?
Yeah.
So we went out there.
But he didn't have your phone number. So what was this Facebook direct message like?
So, God, I don't know. I should pull it up. No,
I don't
know.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, read it.
No, I don't know. I don't know what I said.
Yeah. Before DMs were a thing.
Yeah, it's so hip of him.
He ended up giving me his number. And
he's a sly dog.
I called. Oh, my gosh. It's embarrassing. I called. And I said, I called by accident. And he was like, okay. So then I kept seeing him at the store, and then the rest is really history.
Yeah.
Like, he met Jaden, but the weird thing about it is our mutual friend and Jaden's biological dad. So Steven and this guy named Ryan, were friends, and Ryan and Jaden's biological dad were friends, and they had already, they hung out one time. And so Jaden and Steven actually met before me and him met.
Really?
Creepy. Yeah. Yeah, because
yeah.
Jaden's biological father had brought him over there with them.
Yeah.
So I was like, wow. So Jaden literally met
that's
him before me.
Huh.
That's
yeah.
wild.
Yeah.
That is wild.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's awesome.
So you met him. And
so
then you
yeah.
started dating.
We started dating, and then he I want to say, was that maybe 6 months? Then he moved in with me. That was just, I was like, oh, someone's moving in my place. Okay, so he moved in with me. But I'm like, at this point, I'm very particular. Like, I have the toys are in the toy closet. I have a toy closet, and I am like a clean freak. At this moment, like, I bleach every week, the bathroom, the kitchen.
Okay.
I'm not like that anymore, but I was like that, very particular, and he was in my space now, but, so he moved in, I think 6 months after we started dating, and then things moved quick, and it was a year, so we started dating, actually, we started dating July 27th, 2011.
A day after your birthday?
A day after my birthday, yep.
Okay.
And so I told him about my birth mom and all that, and he thought that was pretty wild and stuff. But a year after we dated, it was November 10th, he proposed to me. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. He said after 6 months, he knew that that I was going to be his wife.
Ooh.
Ooh.
He knew.
Yeah.
For him.
Audience, I wish you could see her face right now. She's
yeah.
so, like, giddy.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's awesome.
So then you got married.
Yeah, we got married September 28th, 2013. Sorry. Sorry for the pause.
We can, we'll just edit it.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. So this year will be 11 years married.
Wow.
Let's go.
Yeah.
Man, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And then what are the ages of your kids again?
So the oldest is 14. Then Layla, she'll be 10 in November. And then Daylen, the baby, will be 4 in December. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. That's work.
Yeah, it is. They're all ages. It's like,
yeah.
I have every stage.
Mm.
Yeah, at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's
yeah.
the one thing of like, with my youngest is being 7.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I forget. Like,
yeah.
I went over to hold my brother's baby, who's like, I don't even know, he's 4 months. He
uh-huh.
is a chunker. He's
Aww.
Like, I mean, he's fat. He's just, there's no way.
I love chunky babies.
Dude, he's like, he's, and I love him and adore him, and he's beyond fat.
Oh, I love it.
But I was bouncing him up and down, and I like, my back started hurting.
Oh no.
And I was like, oh my gosh.
Oh, Dutton.
Oh, he's so cute.
Dude.
That's not a chunker.
Audience, we'll put this photo in the Patreon.
Yeah. Well, so Rand is a great baby. This is also not a flattering picture of him.
But that's a big baby.
It's a big baby.
Yeah.
It's a big baby. But
what's his name?
Rand. From,
like Randy?
Like, actually, so his Rand, and then his last initial will be D. Is D. Rand D. So
oh.
Rand. But Rand, just Rand.
Rand.
So Andy.
Never heard of that.
Yeah.
Cool.
But no, you've got multiple stages
yeah.
to do all at the same time.
Millennial
Never
white
had a teenager.
People. Millennial white people. Are the stupidest baby names.
Callum.
Exactly.
Hey.
I hope so.
That's my nephew.
Yeah. Dumb name.
Emily, when did you start coming around to the gym then? Kind of like what brought you to CrossFit Players?
So have you heard of Burn Boot Camp?
Mm-hmm.
It's like a class setting. I did that for a while. And I, like, since I was younger, I like to lift weights, but I feel like Burn Boot Camp, they're awesome, but they just didn't have weights like I wanted, you know? So then there was a new place called F45, and that was close.
Golden Polaris?
Not that one. There was one in New Albany at the time.
Okay.
And it was new, and it looked like it was going to have, like, a good amount of weights, so I wanted to try that. And that's where I met Adriana and Cam.
Oh!
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that was 2021. Yeah, when I met them. So we all did that. And then somebody told... I think it was Adriana. Somebody told me about Polaris doing CrossFit. So Steven was telling me about CrossFit because he had done CrossFit in 2020 before they shut down. He was like, Emily, you're going to like CrossFit. They have weights. They do all kinds of stuff. I was like, all right, cool. So I heard, I don't remember how I heard about Polaris one, but I was like, I wanted to go.
That's an alarm.
For class. Yeah. Oh, yeah. So I wanted to try it. And I was like, okay. So I was telling Adriana, like, I'm going to go over there and try. She's like, all right, yeah, go. So I went, and oh my God, I love it. Like, at first, when I first, I'm going to say the truth right now.
Do it.
When that first class, I was like, these people are nuts.
Do you remember the first class? Like, do you remember the workout?
Yeah, I remember I was like, so Pat, you know where his lane is. I was behind him.
Pat Freya?
Yeah.
Okay.
And we had to do bar face and burpees. I just remember the, oh my God. I thought I was going to get so sick. I was like,
yeah.
These people are nuts. Like, what? And he was talking to me so much. You know, he talks to everybody. He makes them feel so welcome. Pat does. And he convinced me to go to the 6:30 class. Like, because before, at 45, I was at 5 a.m. class, and this man was like, no, you got to keep coming back. And I'm just thinking in my head, you're nuts, like, I'm not coming back. So he's like, no, just keep coming. So I just kept coming, and I remember a couple of those first workouts, I thought I was in shape, I was not in shape at all. That was very humbling. CrossFit is humbling as heck. Alex got on my damn nerves because...
Yeah.
I thought, I didn't know who was creating these workouts. I thought he was just being an asshole. And making me do lunges. He had me do lunges. We were running. I hated him. Alex, you know what I'm talking about? I hated him. I did. I was like, this guy... It's a real dick.
I love you because you're like, Alex, why are you making me do this?
Yes. I cannot do this. You crazy man. Oh my goodness. But
was there a moment during like your beginning stages of CrossFit where you were like, okay, this is the time where I'm doing weights. And was there one thing that you're like, yes, this is what I'm looking for. This is the weights that I love.
I would say like, once I got to know, like, some of the moves and stuff, that's when I came alive. Like, I felt, like, alive for once, you know? I thought I was alive at the other gyms. No. This was, like, a wake up. Like, you're alive. You are here. You need to try your best. Like, that, like, working out is not just a fun thing. It, like, it really works on everything. Like, emotionally, it will test your spiritual beliefs. It will. It will test everything. And like, it's therapy for me. It literally is. Like, it's my time to be by myself. I'm not mom there. I'm by myself. I'm my individual person. I'm there to work. And so I love it. I love it. I'm not going anywhere.
Yeah. That's awesome.
I'm here forever. So yeah.
So what got Steven into CrossFit? I guess
so. He started 2020. I don't know. I think he was just the man likes to lift weights. And so I think he was like, I'm going to try this. And he loved it. And then COVID happened. And then just got out, you know.
But he's back.
But he's back. Yeah. He loves it. He loves it, loves it, loves it. You've met him, right?
I have. Yeah. I met him a couple times.
Yeah.
I remember Megan talking about you because she judged you. She's like, he's met this awesome person at the gym.
Oh.
She judged you like when you were doing the open.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I remember cheering for you and meeting Steven at the gym.
Yeah.
When you came in for like Friday Night Lights.
Yeah.
And then he's been in a couple of the morning classes.
Yeah.
That I've like, you know, said hi to him.
Yeah.
I remember that, your first open.
Yeah.
Not this year, but last year.
Yeah.
And everybody was cheering you on.
Yeah. It was exciting. It was exciting.
Yeah, that was.
But I was so nervous because I'm like, all these people here. Do I know what I'm doing? But Ben Mason, oh my God, he's my, I love him.
Yes.
Because he's so kind and like, he was one of my judges on like, I think we were doing wall walks. He was just telling, because he knows how I work. I don't know. We just connected on like, you know, when sometimes you just connect with people and they know how you are. He knows how I work. He doesn't even have to, I don't even have to say anything. He knows exactly what I mean. So he's telling me how to do it, like up and down, go up, go down, you know, just guiding me through. And it was like helping, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shout out to Ben Mason.
Yeah. He's a good one.
He is a good one.
So you've, that's like quite a story.
It is.
Right?
Yeah.
That's quite a life story.
Whoa.
What?
Why, you had some time off of CrossFit.
Mm-hmm. I did.
Why was that?
So,
tell us about your hiatus. You loved it so much and then
I left a little bit. So I've always struggled with my weight all my life. Like, so I've done sports, plenty of sports. I've tried all kinds of diets. I have been on meds to help me lose weight. I was diagnosed with PCOS. Do you know what that is? I was diagnosed with that. And like things were just working against me. And there's like this stigma about like medications and doing this or doing that. Like nothing's always, no one agrees with what's right to lose weight or your method or whatever. So I tried medications before, but they were just so expensive and to keep it up. And then I heard about gastric bypass, gastric sleeve, and all those. And at first, I was just like, a part of me was like, this is the easy way out. That's what I thought in my head. This is the easy way out. What are people going to think? They're going to think that I didn't work, blah, blah, blah. Like, I was just going back and forth. And then I finally said, I want to do something about it and help me get on this journey to lose weight in a more effective way, not just the workout. So I decided to do the gastric sleeve. So I got the gastric sleeve May 2nd of 2023. Yeah, last year. So it's been over a year. It's not the easy way out. It's not. You like have to go through this whole year of like psychological, making sure that you know how to lose weight, making sure that you know what the tools are to keep it off, like just all kinds of stuff. It's not just get cut open, you know, lose a whole bunch of weight and that's it. It's not, there's more to it. So it was very humbling to learn the process of that. So I got the sleeve and I'm almost down 100 pounds.
What?
Wow. Yeah.
No
yeah.
way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Congratulations.
Thank you. I feel so much better.
Oh my goodness.
I feel like a different person, literally. Like, cause if I don't see people for a long time and like, if say I go back home and I see somebody, they're like, look at me. I'm like, it's Emily. Like, hello, it's me. I promise.
Oh my God. That's a good feeling that people
know. Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
It is. Because literally I felt like I was in a bodysuit. all the time, like carrying a bodysuit around. And it's so frustrating because I knew this person that was inside, but like I wanted to shed it because also the weight is a reminder for me, is a reminder of the past, and I want to shed it. Like I've already done the work through therapy and I don't want to see it anymore. Like, so part of losing the weight is like shedding some of the past stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's how I think of it as. Because you're carrying around like so baggage, you're like, you're carrying that around and people are seeing that, but you want to lose that because you already done the work mentally and you want to, you don't want to carry it around anymore. So
yeah, physical like tangible representation of the work that you put in.
Yes.
Yeah.
Most definitely.
That's great. I like that. So yeah, I wanted to make sure we hit on that.
No, I was going to ask, I mean, from like, has there been a season that stuck out as like the hardest season? Has there been something that you're like, man, this was, and it sounds like there's a lot of challenges. There's a lot of things of.
So I'll say the hardest season so far in my life was losing my sister and my mom back to back. That is awful. Like, I don't wish that on anybody. Like, that's just, that's a lot of grief to hold on. That literally, like, after my sister passed away, the first thing that I did, like, after a couple of days, I came to the gym, because that's where I felt, like, comfortable. You know, I just sat down, literally sat down on the floor, and just, I just wanted to sit and be, you know? It was just because that for me, the gym is like therapeutic. It's community. It's the community. It's the people that make you feel good. So I wanted to be around that. Not that like Steven wasn't like nice to be around, but like, you know, like something outside of that. Like I could breathe, you know?
And then was this your biological mom?
So it's my adopted mom. So, like, she's my life. She raised me, you know. And so losing her was just, like, losing my sister was more shocking because she's so young. She's only 34 years old. Basically, what happened with that, we did an autopsy on her, and she had a heart attack.
Oh, my.
Yeah. There was no telltale signs. She was, like, in good shape. So that was the most shocking, but... so that was the most shocking. Like, it takes your breath away. Like, with any loss, I don't care who it is, it takes your breath away. But with my mom, it still takes my breath away, but like, I kind of knew it was coming. So like, she got diagnosed with liver cancer 2 weeks before Thanksgiving. And they did chemotherapy on her, and it seemed to be working. But then, like, I want to say around Christmas, everybody in the house got sick, and like, she got sick. They didn't want her coming in with the flu and like getting everybody else sick. And so after that, everything just tanked. Like, it seemed to, like, she got confused. She didn't know who anybody like really was. It was. So she was diagnosed in November, and she was put on hospice January 29th, and she passed away February 10th.
Of this year?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It was fast. It was, like, I take care of patients in the hospital, but it's nothing like taking care of your mom. It was weird to, like, put myself in that, like, in that role of, like, taking care of her, because at one point she can't walk anymore. She's not really eating anymore. I'm having to change her with my sister. I mean, that was, I mean, I would do it 100% over again, but like, it's not a patient, it's your mom. So it's like, it's
you know this person.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
What you hit on it a little bit, but what was your grieving process like? And I guess still is like.
Day by day. Like, just make sure your mental health, like, make sure you're talking to a therapist if you do. Check in. I feel like when people ask me if I'm okay, that makes me feel good. That's a good thing for me. Staying active. Because I could have gone, there's a million ways I could have gone. I could have went to drugs. I could have went, you know, quit the gym, gained all this weight back, and like, woe is me, feel sorry for me. I didn't want to do that. Like, I want to, part of getting that weight loss surgery, I wanted another lease on life. I wanted to kind of rebirth myself. So with that, like, with these losses, I wanted to grieve in a healthy way.
Mm.
You know? The best way I know how.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Stay in the gym. Stay healthy. Don't get off track. And do everything that you wanted to do, because it showed me that life is so short. And if you're dreaming about something, go for it. Literally. Do whatever you want to do. Everything that is in your head, the back of your head, I want to do this. Just do it. Because you really don't know what your last day is. You don't know. So just do everything that you want to do. Whatever it is. So I said, I always hated running. Always hated running. So
you said you're never going to run again?
I said, I'm never going to run. Keep running.
I'm for
never running. But we have to run.
Alex.
And thank you, Alex. So I'm doing... I wanted to do something hard. I want to challenge myself on something I don't want to do. So literally, I made up my mind that I'm going to run. So I just started running. And I'm taking off. It's good. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's therapeutic, too.
Are you part of the 630 crew doing the half marathon?
I am.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know who else is all in there, though, because I know Pat is, Barb. I don't think Jen's doing it anymore.
Oh, really?
No.
Are Nick and Gina doing it?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep.
Hmm. That's a long half marathon. No joke.
Yeah, it's going to be exciting. That's only 14 weeks out.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh.
Uh-huh. It's going to be here before you know it. Mm-hmm.
That's exciting.
Look at you leaning into hard things.
Yeah, I want to do everything I want to do. Like, everything that, like, if somebody told you that you can't do it, I'm going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you had mentioned a few things about your grieving process.
Mm-hmm.
If you were to give a piece of advice to someone who is currently in the grieving process, who's never been in it,
mm-hmm.
what advice would you give them?
Take it day by day. And don't feel like you have to do something. Like, you don't have to pick up the phone if you want to. If someone's calling you, you don't have to pick up the phone. Or if somebody's inviting you somewhere, you don't have to go. Right? Take time for you. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
What would you want people to know around you that you felt like as you're grieving, as you're in that process, what are the things that you said, man, I really wish people would know this, like, but they don't? Either it's things they say to you or things that they don't do, or like, what would you wish that, like, if you could...
Someone.
Yeah.
I would say the one big thing for people is, like, food. They don't think about, a lot of people don't think about, like, if the person that's grieving, is they can't I feel like you can't, you partly can't function. So you're not going to be thinking about cooking. You shouldn't have to feel like cooking. So I feel like more people should ask, like, or come together and say, like, what's making meal for them?
Mm-hmm.
That. And then one big thing, I guess it's like a little bit of pet peeve, is
when you said pet peeve?
Yeah, a little bit.
No, we're not there yet.
Okay.
You can hold on to that.
Okay,
yeah, I'll put a pin in it.
Okay, I'll put a pin in it. But I feel like the food thing, that and like checking in. I feel like people should check in more with you.
Check in more like at the beginning, at the middle, like is there
all the way through, not just in the beginning, because you need someone that's going to check after the dust settles.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's a very lonely time. Like, mm-hmm. yes, people are like around, like when it first happens, the funeral, and then like maybe a little bit after, like a week or two. But then I feel like people forget that it's not like you're...
They've moved on, but you haven't.
Yeah. It's not like you're not done. So you need to stay with the person.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I think people forget that. It's not just like it's going to be okay overnight. It's going to be a while. You need to ride the wave with them a little bit and check in.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
It 100% does. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know... And I know everybody's different and every situation is different. So
mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that I
yeah.
know your situation, but I know when Megan's dad passed,
mm-hmm.
it was even me learning of at some point people would even ask almost like a binary question, like,
mm-hmm.
hey, like, how's she doing? Almost as if there's an answer of like a good or a bad.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, well, it's not binary. Like, it's
yeah.
like there's a lot of middle.
Yeah.
And then also the sense of, just learning that it's with her and with our situation, it's never going to be the same again.
Mm-hmm.
We lost somebody that was a
yeah.
huge part of our life, and so I think it's been like 9 Christmases before she could start to enjoy Christmas.
Yeah.
And it's still not the same. It's not back to normal.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just the sense of like once you lose someone, like it will never be the same again.
Yeah,
you know. And so I think being okay with that,
mm-hmm.
it, I think that's something that when you say
yeah.
it doesn't make sense,
yeah,
to me it does.
Yeah,
to me I'm like, no, I get that.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
I think to go off of that though, like to make it maybe a little bit more forward thinking,
mm-hmm.
is like it's not going to be the same, but that doesn't mean it can't be good.
Mm.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think sometimes it's really easy to be like, okay, it's not going to be the same as it was in the past, like. But that doesn't mean that we still can't, like, new memories can't be made and new experiences and new friendships, new relationships and new, like,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to just being, well, it's, and it takes time. It takes time for everybody to take differently, you know,
yeah.
but I think making sure that we don't limit ourselves saying like, okay, we went through this like terrible loss. And we know that life is going to look different and it's going to be different. And that's good that it affects us because that means that person was valuable to us.
Mm-hmm.
But that also, you know, it's not mutually exclusive from good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point.
I think one of the things that I heard recently that I think has been to reframe what you're saying was at Rebecca's funeral when the pastor said that that you don't have to choose between grief and a hope. I think it's been something that
mm.
in our family with that specific situation with Megan's dad has been that sense of the pastor said that as believers, we can hold both at the same time,
mm.
you know, that we, and I think that allows a lot of the challenge for us has been, man, we feel like, man, we either we have to grieve or we have to have fun. Like you know, and you can't, the reality is you can do both. Like you can give honor to the fact that you're like, man, I really wish he was here.
Mm-hmm.
And like, he's looking down on us and we can have fun at the same time.
Yeah.
Right. To be able to permit both things at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's been really good for us. And I think that's a good delineation, a good point that
yeah.
it doesn't have to be like, oh, yep. Like,
yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But Man, anything,
any questions you have for us? Sorry, I've just been doing interviews and stuff.
That's what they always ask afterwards.
How many years have you guys been doing CrossFit?
Like 5.5, I think.
Wow.
Almost 8.
This October will be 4.
Wow.
October will be 4.
Do we have anything else that we want to ask before we go into pet peeves?
I'm thinking of something. Something's churning in my head. Something's churning.
Yeah.
Ooh, let it out.
Can we put the Jeopardy music on right now?
Yeah.
Better churning.
Dutton, hit it.
Churning in your gut.
Hit it, Dutton. So, I have a white dad.
You do?
I do. There was a divorce in my family. Mom remarried when I was 7. So I think I remember part of my my background is like being Malaysian, but when I came to America and just seeing the whole American life experience and seeing my dad's whole side of the family, super white. They're super white. but then even trying to figure out when I would meet my friends or whatever, they'd see me as an kid, they'd see my dad. Mm-hmm. So there's some part of me that can relate to you as well. But mm-hmm. the thing that stood out to me was you talked a little about, because it sounds like, I guess when you were talking, you had grown up in this white family.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you were 21, you met your biological side of the family,
mm-hmm.
who, black culture, by
oh,
family.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So what is that like for, I guess, I want to know from your perspective, but also from your, like, what it's like for your kids, too. But what is it like kind of sharing both those cultures with them?
It's awesome. So I feel like when that happens, that allows them to be more open-minded, more, like, broad. Because that, I feel like that gives the pathway of accepting everywhere. You know what mm-hmm. I mean by that? Like, you don't have to choose, like, either way. It's okay. Like, this way is okay, this way is okay. You're all living in the same world. It's mm-hmm. just a little different here, a little different here. It's okay.
Follow-up question.
Mm-hmm.
When you first met your biological family,
yeah,
was that a big culture shock for you?
No, because the only reason why is because I had black friends in high school. And so I kind of already, like, that was over with.
Okay.
I was already implemented in that way. And my husband being black, he already had a black family. So that right there. So
yeah.
Coming from high school, that one of my best friends... she's black, her family's black. So that was my first real, experience. So I experienced that in high school. And then later on in life, I'm experiencing it again with Steven's family because they're black. And they, you know, it's a shock again, but then the shock is not as shocking because I already had that openness in high school, you know, with my friend.
I love that. The shock is not as shocking.
It's not like
yeah.
it's not like a sting. It's
like
a sting,
that.
But not like
yeah.
It's not completely.
No, I totally know. I know what you mean. But
yeah.
I've never heard that
yeah.
said that like that before.
Yeah.
I like that.
That's super interesting.
The shock
yeah.
is not as
shocking. I think as I've gotten older, for my age of my young age of 17.
Yeah.
I've wanted to dive deeper into my Malaysian Indian
yeah.
culture. Like way deeper. I felt like since I was a kid,
yeah.
at least this was my side of the family. Not sure how your side of the family was, but I mean, my parents, I think, pushed us to assimilate a ton. And I think now that I'm older, it's like, I wish that wasn't the case.
Mm.
I really want to know more of my family, my culture.
Yeah.
So that way I can still pass that on to my kids.
Yeah.
So.
All you can do is study.
Yeah.
Study it. ask questions.
Gotta get yourself over there.
There's a there's a trip planned. Planning process. We'll see what goes through.
So you came here when you came to America. How old were you?
I came to America when I was 9.
So were you so?
Oh, the turntables. So technically speaking, he adopted us so we could be part. So I mean, my mom and dad like.
So did your mom and dad split, or how did that happen?
Yeah. So when I was 7. Both my mom and my dad, my biological dad, my mom, divorce.
Uh-huh.
Mom was working in Saudi Arabia at the time. She met this white guy from Greenfield, Ohio.
Oh.
So then they married, and I guess he had to fill out paperwork to actually like.
I kind of knew you were adopted. I don't know why. Before I even got here, I was like, you're adopted. I thought you had a white parent. I literally thought that.
Interesting. I think because it's technically adoption.
Yeah.
But because it's your dad and your mom, I felt like they're equal partners. So like he's so.
It's a little different, but yeah.
Yeah.
It's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh.
I knew it.
She knew it.
She knew it.
Yeah, I knew it. I knew it.
And even as you're explaining your life as being shy all the way up until high school, mm-hmm. I was the exact same way.
Really?
Exact same way.
I
don't know what triggered in me specifically. I think I know. For me, it was my faith.
Mm.
My faith is what actually pulled me out to have more confidence.
Mm.
But yeah, as you were explaining that, I was like, man,
yeah,
sounds a lot like me.
Yeah, that's
so I can relate.
Same world, two different.
Mm-hmm. Well,
we want to start pushing peas.
Luke, I'm going to put you on the standby.
Okay.
David, during dinner today.
Oh my God.
Uh-oh.
You said something was pushing your pee.
It's true. Yeah.
Yeah, tell us.
What's going on?
I'm excited.
Wait, can we pause this for a minute? This sidebar. Remember, like, two seasons ago when you're like, I don't have any pet peeves because
it's
nothing
gross.
Makes me angry, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Well, what number is this for you now?
Three.
Two and a half?
Yeah.
Three.
Three.
Yeah, there are three things that make me
three.
Angry.
Let's
yeah.
hear it.
And it's like,
lay it on us.
So be as dramatic as possible, by the way. So
lay it on thick, baby. I'm a pretty easygoing guy. Right?
No.
Some might say.
I like everywhere that I am. And part of one of the things I like to do is play cards. Right? Play a lot of different cards, like playing games. Hold on a second, I can take my.
Oh, you're getting hot.
Audience is taking off his blanket
and his pants.
And his pants.
This is inappropriate over here. Oh my goodness. I'm not taking off my pants. Just for the record.
But it looks like it for a minute.
For a second, it did appear that way. So one of the games I like to play a lot is euchre. And for the Midwestern people, euchre is a game that's just pretty confusing. But
just watch a YouTube video.
Watch a YouTube video. It's kind of like hearts, but not. And over the weekend, something happened that I realized happens a lot that just like puts me into a mode where I get peeved.
Mm.
And so if you're familiar with the game, I'll tell you and then I'll summarize afterwards. But like essentially, you've been playing euchre and you're... Like, the people you're playing against are drawing it out anyways, and you're like, we're going to beat you. Like, just let us beat you. And the person, like, pulls out a card to play, and they say, what is Trump? And you spend about 30 seconds discussing Trump, which shouldn't be 30 seconds because you've been playing, like, 3 or 4 tricks already.
Mm-hmm.
And then you alert them to what is Trump, and they play that same card, and you realize... Regardless, Trump, you had to play that card. Like the question you asked had no bearing on which one you just weren't paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
And you're stalling the game.
They were trying to get in your head.
They were. And you know what? It just prolonged the beating. We ended up winning. But it was just like, why are you doing that?
Wait, that's your pet peeve?
Yes. That's my
wow.
pet peeve.
You are now David.
The reverses have changed.
I'm still me though.
That's not a peeve.
Yeah, that's a peeve.
We'll close with Luke.
Yeah, Luke, what's pushing your...
No, we'll close with Luke.
We'll close with you, Luke.
Yeah.
Emily, what's pushing your peeve? You had a one that was, like, specific to Greek.
Yeah, we put a pin on it.
Oh, and there was another one that was, like, yeah.
Oh, when people... So, the grieving...
Also, can we just say,
yeah,
this is a first on this podcast where the guest is going before me.
Oh,
so
you're the finale.
Special.
I know, but it never happens.
Yes.
You are special.
Oh,
but
thank you.
Yes. First time for everything.
When someone passes away, they say, "What happened?" That just drives me nuts. It doesn't matter to me.
wait, are we talking like any situation, or like people that you know, or people like you work in the hospital? You're talking about that situation, like
no, because we see basically, but like friend, like say your friend or like your family member passes away, and then people are asking you like, or even in the comments, they're like, "What happened to her? How did she die? Or how did she die? Or how did he die?" I feel like that's so weird and insensitive.
Yeah,
them wanting to know.
Yeah, I could see that.
Cause when my best friend passed away, she passed away in 2017. People were literally calling me and asking me what happened to her, how did she die, and that just ticked me off more than anything. Like, it does not matter how the person passed away. And then another one is when people don't put their carts back.
We got a squeal.
Especially if they're like, say you're in the car and you're parked, and then you see them coming and they put their groceries in there, and then I'm watching. Don't you leave that cart there.
Yeah,
yeah.
Amber also said the cart.
Okay.
That's
yeah.
who it was.
Ooh.
I thought
shit.
No.
I think
I thought it was Troy or Randy.
It must have been a lot of people. Carts is up there.
A lot of people.
Those people have to go get those carts. That's a hard job.
I was gonna say, like, you have like personal experience with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was my
I mean, I was a cashier,
job.
But at one point I like helped to get the carts.
Yeah.
And that is not an easy job because you have to go out there in the snow and
mm-hmm.
the heat.
Yeah.
The rain. That's awful.
That was young Dave's first job.
Yeah.
Was carts at
Ooh.
Kroger.
Oh.
That's truth. Yeah.
And you didn't have those like string things to help you.
No.
No.
And I was like maybe 90 pounds. Like, and so I was being like,
so the carts were driving you.
Yeah.
Yes. There's multiple times that like bystanders was like, "Oh, I need to help you," so you don't like completely.
How many cars did you wreck?
That's when the story for is her
Uh-oh.
Podcast. I did ding up a car one time.
Uh oh. You didn't tell, did you?
So, okay. You know the times where you're like you're kind of falling asleep and then some memory hits you and it just filled with shame for some random thing you did like years and years ago.
Yeah.
Like after I graduated from the cart boy, I would help bag up groceries.
Yeah.
And then I would, you know, I'd take them out to people's cars for
mm-hmm.
tips. Right.
Yeah.
And so I took it out to one lady's car. She was super nice. And she was explaining to me and I helped, I loaded her bags, did everything I was supposed to do.
Yeah.
And I've got the cart ready to go back in. And she goes, "I don't have much, but I have these." And she held up this roll of quarters, which ended up being like $2, you know, whatever. And so she...
A roll of quarters is $10.
It wasn't... It was not a lot. It was not a haul. I'd remember $10. It was... Maybe
some
it was
of
more
it
than
was
$2,
taken out.
Right?
No.
However, it wasn't... It was loose quarters. When I say
oh,
roll of
oh,
quarters,
okay,
it wasn't...
Okay.
She held it in her fingers.
Oh, okay. Not like an actual...
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. Thanks
okay.
for
okay.
the,
okay.
the
okay.
listeners.
All
right. There was a handful of quarters. And so she goes to give me these quarters, and I let go of the cart, and I pick the quarters up right as the cart hits her car.
Oh, no.
And she's like right there. And she's like, looking at me.
Did you hand the quarters back to her?
I just looked at her. And I'm a child, right? I'm 15 and a half. And like, she's like turned red. And she just like left.
Oh, okay.
She's like, we didn't say anything.
Oh.
Like just left.
But you got the quarters.
Yeah, I got the quarters.
All right, good.
And then I like, didn't tell anybody. So
lady,
if you're listening, I'll pay for it.
Like, she just gave me the quarters back.
Yeah, I should have been like, "Hey, you want the quarters?
I want my tip.
Yeah.
You're good.
I don't deserve the tip. Here's the $2. It should fix the debt in your car."
I've got a really fascinating question that I don't want to like intrude in your
time. Ask.
How do you guys feel about the rain? Like, for example,
love the rain.
You are parked at the end of Target, and it's raining, and you're running, like, do you run inside a Target or do you just embrace the rain? I just don't know why people hate the rain so much.
Rain's so romantic.
I hate it.
I love it.
I hate rain.
When I was a kid, when it would rain, I would just stand out in the rain and just let it soak me.
God is in the rain.
I just.
God is everywhere, David.
That's from V for Vendetta.
I don't know that one.
Me neither.
Whatever.
But that's a season. Yeah, I mean, not even a season. It's like we go out playing the snow. Well, I'm playing the rain. I bring this up because Grace and I, July 3rd, watched A Quiet Place Day One. We rated it a 7.25. But we went to Five Below, obviously, to get our snacks, because come on.
Yeah.
Inflation. It was raining. Parked at the Target parking lot. This is on North Hamilton. Parked at the Target parking lot right beside Five Below. She runs. She's gone. I'm wearing my Crocs.
Oh.
I'm kicking the water in the while I'm walking. I'm letting it just soak me. I just love it. I don't know. I'm like, why do people hate the rain?
I don't mind getting wet.
You know, Grace should love the rain because it waters her plants. not a pet peeve, but just something to think on. You know,
wandering to and fro.
That's what I have to offer. Luke, you're up. Okay. Save us here.
That's what we've been waiting for right here. So this pet peeve is sponsored by a good friend of the show, Emily Reed.
Oh, yeah.
I almost threw her off a bridge when she mentioned this on July 4th. I was talking with her on July 4th and...
on a bridge.
Not on a bridge. I would have taken her to a bridge and thrown her off. And the conversation, we were, you know, small talk, blah, but somebody asked what your favorite cereal was. So we're going around talking about favorite cereals or whatever. And for some reason, what?
Keep going.
For some reason, she just decides to mention that she eats or has eaten and or currently still eats cereal with water.
Whoa.
What?
Not milk. Or milk, if you're from Wisconsin or whatever. What?
Why water?
What?
I never heard of that.
You shouldn't have heard of that. It shouldn't be a thing, Emily.
What did Wade think of this?
Wade was, he just like, I guess he put his head down and covered his eyes a little bit.
I guess
and started like
battles.
Laughing a little bit. I was so mad.
She still does it?
Has she tried it with milk, you think? Emily, have you tried it with milk?
So the response from the group was pretty much my response, which was, what? And so she went on to explain that she didn't really drink milk, and it was, you know, I don't remember the reason why, other than I know she's vegetarian. I don't think it has to do with that. But the anyway, she going on why she doesn't drink milk, blah blah blah. Like, but water, like there are nut milks. Like oat milk is basically water anyway. Like, use that.
So
she did admit that she uses oat milk occasionally, but the fact that that people in this world think that it is okay to drink or eat cereal with water.
Never heard of that in my life.
I can't, like,
I just try to eat dry. Straight.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Nothing like eating that styrofoam from that Lucky Charms.
Straight to prison.
And that marshmallow. That's
straight to prison.
That's a hard one for me to get by. I want, like, you know me. I'm the terminal optimist. I'm like, oh, I hated oatmeal with milk or with water before I like ate it enough times. But I don't think I can do that with cereal.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, I just discovered cereal with coconut milk.
No. Stop there. Let me tell you, truly.
Oh, it's a game changer.
Truly.
It's so good. And it makes you think that it's healthy, too.
No.
You are bordering on this.
Coconut milk?
You are bordering on water.
You get coconut
No,
so
no.
It's a thickness of milk, but it gives you the coconut type taste.
There's truly you guys. So there's this level of, yeah, you know, there's the alternative milks of oat and there's an extra creamy oat.
I don't know what you're gonna say, but I'm gonna fight Luke over this. We're gonna battle.
Go.
You take your nut juice, and you can go to prison with it.
Okay,
ridiculous.
When you guys have, whenever you guys are near Whole Foods,
yeah,
this is truly like, I mean, special occasion because this is not a cheap thing to do. Go to Whole Foods and buy one of the nicer alternative milks, aka hazelnut milk.
Hmm.
It's got a slight tinge of brown in it, and it tastes like you're drinking Nutella. And you add it to a cereal, like Cinnamon Life or something like that. I did that during college once. Unbelievable. Truly the best cereal I've ever had in my life.
What's the verdict on that, Luke?
That's less bad.
That's less.
Less offensive.
Next audience, I'm serious.
Less
evil. Spend the $9 on a half a gallon of hazelnut milk. It's unbelievable.
You need to have milk.
No, I need to have milk, not milk.
It's like Mel Gibson.
No, it's milk.
No, it's milk.
Emily, you eat cereal?
How do you spell milk?
Not anymore. I used to.
I can't eat cereal because it's the box.
Golden Grahams is my favorite.
Which one?
Golden Grahams.
Oh, yeah.
It's my favorite.
I can't eat cereal anymore because literally the box is the serving.
Love it.
Yeah, the box and the carton of milk.
You can't just have
serving.
One bowl. You
can't.
That's the biggest thing.
The first bowl had to be crunchy and then the second bowl, you know.
Soggy.
Yeah.
Yep.
Just a little bit.
Well, that's the problem I've had with putting coconut milk there because I feel
coconut
like
what?
It's healthier than, you know,
is
a
it?
David, seriously?
Oh, it's not, especially because I'll eat two bowls. I'd be like, oh, yeah, no, this is healthy.
Yeah.
That's all
you
sugar.
Can't do the hazelnut milk.
You know what? Maybe. My doctor said I should try. Actually, hazelnuts are no. Almonds. My doctor said.
Oh, yeah, he's allergic to tree nuts.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
seriously,
you
though.
You probably shouldn't drink
audience.
That.
Hazelnut milk, insane. Truly insane.
Is there anything else we want to ask Miss Emily before we go into the 2-minute drill?
Really, no other pet peeves besides the shopping cart?
If you could murder one of us right now.
Ooh. Wow.
No repercussions.
Just say. I will be the sacrificial.
No. I just want to.
Hey, I heard Luke programs the workouts on Saturday.
You.
Yeah, take me.
Yeah, I'll take you.
I'll be the
sacrificial
lamb.
Okay. That's a curious question. I'm
you said this to somebody else too.
I did. I don't remember who though. Maybe Cheryl.
I think I told her to pick me too.
You probably did.
Let's start the 2-minute drill.
You familiar with the 2-minute drill?
No.
You have
okay.
2 minutes.
I don't know.
We just ask you questions
whatever.
Off the cuff.
Yes,
oh,
so you
okay.
answer from the gut, right? Just boom.
Okay.
You get an answer. You get 2 minutes.
We're not going to be asking
don't,
you
don't
like favorite
think about
child.
The answer. You just
okay.
say.
Just say.
Say.
Yeah.
Okay.
Even if you afterwards you're like, that's not true at all. Just
okay.
say it. Okay. And then the new rule is you're not allowed to ask the octopus question.
I can do whatever.
Ready,
I want.
Set, Char, you're up. Go.
Death row meal.
Steak.
That's it?
And potato.
Okay. And a potato.
If... Never mind, go.
Oh, dear Lord.
Favorite thing of favorite thing about Stephen?
He can cook.
Oh. If you had a billboard that for the entire world to see, you could put anything on it, what would you put on it?
Never quit.
What is your favorite CrossFit movement? And or CrossFit
deadlift.
Workout of choice?
Deadlift.
Would you rather have an octopus stuck to your face for the rest of your life or be stuck in the desert naked?
Octopus.
What's your favorite book?
Oh gosh. Can't Hurt Me.
Ooh,
by David
Goggins.
Goggins. That's why I'm doing that, reading that.
Celebrity right Crush.
Ooh. Usher.
Oh.
Whoa, that's a throwback.
That's a good one.
My boys, let's see. Whoa, your turn.
This year to date, your favorite moments with your kids?
Ooh, favorite moments?
Year to date.
Oh, year to date. Oh, gosh. I would say with all of them, when they learn how to talk, like, we can communicate with each other.
Mm.
What's your least favorite color?
Oh, what's this? Think. White.
Is one thing, one really, like, bizarre thing or weird thing that you do that people might not know about?
I do? Oh, God. I make different voices.
Yeah.
You have a last question?
I mean, I feel like you kind of short on pet peeves. So I was like, what's a
I
pet peeve of...
I hate crazy eyebrows. Like,
oh,
it makes me sick, actually.
Who's
wait,
got some crazy
what?
Eyebrows in there?
Like, when people have, like...
Yes.
Crazy out of
like caterpillar
eyebrows.
Eyebrows.
Like, okay, so not,
like...
Like,
they're all, like, bushy and
yeah.
They're going all, like...
Yeah.
They're not... combed at all.
Like professor eyebrows.
Like,
wait,
yeah.
Yeah,
like, I don't like when people... My family will make fun of me, but when people, like, go like this with their eyebrows, I scream. I can't... Please don't do it for me.
I'm gonna start doing that in class.
No, please,
though.
No. Oh, I hate it.
That's super fascinating.
That is. That's a.
I know.
See, that's a great one.
Yeah, that's weird.
That is like up there. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's I like that a lot.
No.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
Man, I have really, really enjoyed getting to know you.
Oh, good.
You have such a unique story.
Thank you.
And
yeah.
So interesting and like. Yeah, you. I mean, you've been through so much and.
A lot.
Yeah,
there's lots of layers to me.
Yeah.
There's more, but...
Yeah.
I'm the onion.
Podcast number two.
Yes.
The sequel.
Yes.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Onion. Audience, thank you for checking out the podcast. We'll see you guys in... sometime.
Couple weeks.
Yeah, see you guys in a couple weeks. Bye-bye.